This is
Eastside Radio. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Survivor Show. I'm Aiden Rude.
Hi, I'm Brielle Lamp.
And we're here back again to talk about another episode, another week of Survivor. Our first post-merge episode this week. And we had a lot happen.
It was Brielle, so good. It was my favorite. Yeah, it's definitely, I know I said last week, oh yeah, this is the best episode of the season. No. This was the first, like, the best episode so far of the season. And I will say, this was the first time all season that I've been blindsided.
Oh.
So, I was, I thoroughly enjoyed the twists that happened, the strategy conversations, the advantage and twist and the idol conversations that were happening, the tribal itself, I was like flabbergasted. I was like, no, I was really sad that the person went home and I was blindsided. So everything. And yeah, it was really, I loved this episode. What about you?
I didn't love it quite as much, but like, I still really liked it. Like, it was like top three. Like, I still think last week's episode was better, maybe one other, but yeah, it was a great episode. I wasn't as into the, like, strategic part of the episode, which is unusual for me. Typically, that's, like, all I care about. This time, I don't know. I don't really care about, like, whether Dwight or James went home. Was it between Dwight and James? Is that right?
Yeah, and Ryan.
And Ryan, yeah. But Ryan, it seemed like, wasn't really ever in danger. So, I mean,
I personally thought that if Dwight did not go home, he had a chance at winning.
I thought James had a chance at winning more so, and I thought it would be stupid if James went home over finding an advantage and immediately, like, telling everyone. Like, that's not his fault. He did,
yeah, like, he but, did like, the right thing. Yeah, but, like, it's
the game. Yeah, but, I don't know. So, I guess I did care that James didn't go home, because I like James, but Dwight,
I thought he was one of, I thought that he was a great player. I honestly thought that he had the potential to be, like, one of the better players to play the game. Obviously, that didn't pan out. But he seemed that he was very good at physical challenges. He had a strong social game. I thought that if we're going back all the way to, like, week one, week two, he had a strong alliance with Jessie and I don't remember her name, but she went home, one of the girls in his alliance. Yeah. And he had to adapt, and him and Noelle got close. So the fact that I saw him adapting so early on was awesome. I saw that come merge time, he was making connections with people outside of his tribal lines. He even had someone from the Baka tribe give him her idol because she trusted him so much. So I thought he
was... Who was that again?
Janine lent him the idol so that it didn't get stolen.
Janine, second week in a row, she just looks flabbergasted at the end of tribal. Janine's having a rough go.
She's struggling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like for me, I agree at the beginning, Dwight was very promising. I feel like his game, like, tapered off for me a little bit. Like, yes, he got the idol handed to him. That's impressive. Other than that, I haven't been too interested in Dwight. I'm glad James stayed over Dwight, but...
Well, I think, okay, so as a watcher, I wish James went home, because I loved Dwight. As a player, 100% made the right move, I think. I think that James is going to have a target on his back for the rest of the season now, being that he has an advantage.
Yeah, that's true.
It might not be his fault, but he has an advantage. He has a great social game, so he's going to be a target, so there's no point in sending home a target, and now you could be the next target. Now there's always going to be... someone else to look at. Yeah. So as a player, they made the right move, and I really thought that Dwight could have gone all the way, so that's another reason why they made the right move. But, yeah, I thought it was really interesting, but we kind of jumped ahead, so let's go back to the challenge aspect.
Yes, that was the part. So that, like I said, I'm typically all strategy, don't care about the challenge. It was flipped for me this time. Strategy, and whatever. The challenge, this challenge. They're getting creative. They, multiple challenges in a row now, have not done the same old boring run through some obstacles and solve a puzzle. Like, this was very unique. It was a whole new challenge format. The pairs aspect was very interesting. The way, the endurance part at the end was amazing to watch. Great challenge.
I adored it. Like, I loved it.
So great.
Even from when they first got tree mail, and may I just say that Dwight was the one that read the tree mail, but whatever. I'm just gonna pay tribute to Dwight this entire episode, sorry. But I just loved him so much. But anyway, he was the one who read that, and when I heard that they had individually break up into pairs, I was thinking, like, oh my goodness. Like, if I was one of those players, I would have just been standing there or sitting there or whatever, silent, not speaking a word.
Yeah.
And it was very apparent that everybody else on that beach felt the same way because
they and the way they handled it worked out pretty well.
It worked out great. I did find it interesting though that a lot of the like how it turned out, a lot of like tribe people were sticking together, like Cassidy and Carla, who were on Coco together, were together. Gabler and Owen, who were on Baca together.
I mean, that was just random chance.
But I found it interesting.
Yeah.
But the most interesting and I think most impactful pairing, obviously, was Sammy and Noel. I'll let you speak first because I feel like my opinions are going to be obvious, but you can go.
I would say Sammy and Noel are both moving in the positive direction for me this episode. I liked watching that pairing. It was very impactful for sure. And I think Sammy is looking more and more like a normal Survivor player. The aura of the 19-year-old kid, I know he's telling them he's younger, which helps as well. But
older.
Telling them he's older, which helps. But the aura of, like, the kind of young kid who's not really ready for this and has no chance in the game that all of our previous teenage Survivor contestants have had and gone out with, and Sammy, I feel like, started with, I feel like that is fading away, and Sammy seems like just another player who has just as good of a shot as anyone. And Noel, meanwhile, also, I think, continues to be a strong player in the game.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, honestly, I didn't really see, like, at the beginning, obviously, we had different views on it. I never really saw Sammy as young. I think, really, the only Survivor player that I can recall who I felt, like, his age and, like, maturity levels showed a lot was Will from Millennials versus Gen X, and that he was still in high school. Sammy is out of high school. He's 19, but he's
out of
high school.
We had JD last season who had similar issues.
I don't think it was his age. He was young, but I think it was just his maturity levels. I think he was a little older than Sammy. No offense to him. But, I just think that it was a great pairing. I loved seeing Sammy motivate Noel. I love seeing Noel's, obviously, you don't want to see someone, you know, be upset and cry, but it really showed her as a human being and, like, her humanity towards it. And it was just great. And kind of off topic, but if anybody didn't catch it, I encourage you to go back. It was hilarious. I actually laughed out loud. Jeff was calling the challenge, he was walking backwards and he hit Gabler, or they, like, ran into each other. It was so funny. I just thought it was great. I don't know why I thought it was so funny, but it was. Were you surprised by the winner of this immunity challenge?
I was surprised, and not only was I surprised, but I was impacted as a viewer in the sense that Gabler has shot up my rankings of who I like and who I'm happy to see doing well. Gabler has annoyed me. I went on a whole rant last episode of this podcast about how Gabler was playing poorly and how I didn't like him. This was a very strong performance, a very impactful performance, and a performance that goes beyond just one immunity. Like, Gabler didn't just make it through this tribal and that's all, and everyone will forget about it now. Like, this was a legendary challenge performance, in my view. It reminded me of Christian Hubicki and his endurance challenge. It was the exact same thing,
it
where
is
you have...
You can keep going, but...
It was the same exact setup, where you have an endurance challenge that's running for longer than it ever has. Everyone's just standing around as these two people battle it out, and one of them just starts talking and talking and talking, and it creates quite a moment.
So, I have some agreeances and some disagreements.
Okay.
One side, firstly, I just like to say, both Aiden and I predicted that Cody would win this immunity challenge.
Did.
I'm just saying, I don't feel like we were that far
off.
No,
we were
okay?
close.
We were close. But in terms of his performance, I thought that Gabler had an amazing performance. I'm not going to diminish any of that. I mean, the fact that, I don't know how old he is, he's not that old, but regardless, he is the oldest one out there, and the fact that he was able to do not only, like, that last portion of the challenge, but help his teammate get to that last portion was incredibly inspiring to watch. I thought it was great, and it set a really great example. I thought that the fact that the physicality of it, that he was still able to do it, was awesome, and I also thought that, like, as you were saying, him doing, like, this minute is for whomever, I thought that was really inspiring to the viewers, and it just showed a little bit more of Gabler's personality. As far as Firstly, let me just say, as far as the challenge in comparison to Christian, I don't think that's a comparison at all. Christian is on an entirely different level than Gabler. Christian...
I agree it's a different level, but it was very... They did it for different reasons.
Christian did it because it helped him to, like, focus. Mm-hmm. Gabler was not doing that to focus. He was doing that to bring attention to the people that he knew in his life. Mm-hmm. It was just a moment for him to, like, personally connect.
Mm-hmm.
For Christian, he was doing it to stay focused. And also, he was doing it more for, like, the fun part. He's like, I'm never going to get a chance to talk to Jeff like this again. So, they were doing it for different reasons.
Yeah.
But also with Gabler, I think that, yes, I think it was a great performance for him. I don't think it was legendary, per se. I think that he definitely increases his odds of staying beyond this week by him winning this immunity. I think that if he didn't win, there was a chance that he was going home. So it was a perfect timing for him. That being said, I don't know if it, like... It shows that he's a better player, but it doesn't diminish that everything else that he's done wrong. People still aren't going to trust him just because he won an immunity challenge. They'll like him a little bit more because they're going to see more of his personality and humanity show through. But as a player and trust and strategy-wise, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
I don't know. I think that at this early stage of the merge, especially such a big merge, like in many other seasons, these contestants still wouldn't have merged yet. So when you have that far to go in the game, like, eventually, when you get to the tail end of the merge, you want to eliminate strong challenge competitors, especially if you are one. Like, Cody would want to get rid of someone like Gabler at the end because he doesn't want that competition. But at this stage, if you can have a few of those strong competitors work together, that way someone has the necklace each night in your alliance, and you can kind of wield that power and make sure that not only do you have the necklace, but whoever your alliance wants to vote out this week never does have the necklace. I think that that, combined with the personality aspect, creates an attractive scenario for someone like Cody, for some of these other physical competitors, to work with Gabler and say, like, we can be a strong group that dominates the immunity and takes out whoever we want each week. So I think that in that sense, and in the sense that Gabler just, I feel like the likability will make up for some of the things that would cause people to dislike him previously. I think Gabler did not... Like, I just don't think... Maybe it doesn't carry him all the way to the final three or anything, but I think that the impact of this challenge was not limited to just this episode.
I think in typical fashion, yes. I think that Gabler isn't going home anytime soon, but I don't think he's going to be brought into alliances. I think he'll be on the right side of the votes, but if I'm thinking back to the beginning episodes, right? He was supposed to be in this alliance with Ellie, Owen, Sammy, and Janine. They mm-hmm. all had this Baka 5 mentality going in, and the first chance that Gabler got, he, like, crumbled all of it. So not only did that show his tribe that he's not trustworthy, but it showed all the other tribes that same thing, and they all are under the impression that Gabler was in an alliance. So now if I'm a player out there, I'm thinking, well, what does that say about me? I mean, Ellie is a pretty good competitor. Sammy's a pretty good competitor. So they were good shields, and they could have all worked together, and he didn't have the alliance to them. So what makes it like he's going to be aligned to me?
Well, I feel like Gabler's almost at, like, a reset point. Like, ooh, he messed everything up, like, with his initial alliance. Like, everything broke down. But now he has this triumphant moment, and I think that's an opportunity for someone to bring him into an alliance.
So you think there can be resets in Survivor, really?
I think that, not complete resets, I think that, like, things will always come back to bite you eventually. But for, like, for next week, yeah, I think people can forget about pre-merge and go off of what just happened.
Well, yeah, I just don't think he can get into an alliance.
Really. Well, I think that that sort of temporary reset could get him a spot in an alliance.
Okay, we'll just agree to disagree on that one. So now that we've talked a little bit about that, let's talk a little bit about the fact that, I know I'm going back to Dwight, but I'm sorry, I had to pay tribute to
mm-hmm.
him. I know that, like, merge happened, it was a pretty big merge. How come Dwight doesn't get to be on jury?
He doesn't?
No!
When did they say that?
At the end. Like, when he was doing his confessional, he was like, I'm very blindsided, and it's kind of, like, unfortunate that I don't get to be a part of the jury.
That doesn't make sense.
Jury starts next week.
So why? They're fully merged.
I don't know.
That makes no sense.
I don't know. That's what he said.
Dwight should be on the jury.
I know. I'm very upset about it.
He'd be a good juror.
It's extremely unfortunate. But besides that, I don't know. Maybe you caught it. I don't know if I didn't catch it. Did he give Janine her idol back?
I didn't see that occur.
So, in case you aren't aware, James got an advantage where he can ask someone if they have an idol or an advantage, and if they do, they have to respond honestly, and if they do, then James can steal it. So, basically, everybody knew that that was the advantage that he got. So, people were trying to... There are so many idols and advantages that we kind of went over last week. They were trying to, like, give them to other people so that James wouldn't know, and Janine gave her idol to Dwight, who has now gone home. So, I'm interested to see what happens with that.
I mean, I feel like it wasn't totally clear, like... I feel like that's one of those things where we could get to the beginning of next episode and they, like, almost bait us. Janine, like, we open the episode with a confessional from Janine and she's like, I was so upset, I'm going to lose my idol, like, Dwight's going home. And then, luckily, he slipped it back to me. Like, I feel like they could reveal that. But if she lost it for good, then that really sucks for her.
Yeah, she's...
And Janine just, man, Janine's... I don't know how she comes back at this point. Like, she just keeps... getting blindsided. I hope she won't quit at this point.
I don't think she would never quit. Probably not. Yeah. She had a good start. But I think this just shows the the challenges that come with attaching to one person, especially
too
early.
She was too attached.
Yeah. I did see some hope for her. She seemed that she was getting along well with Noelle. She seemed that she was getting along well with Cassidy.
Yeah.
Clearly not that well if she was blindsided. But yeah, I think she really just needs to be, and then she made friends with Dwight, you would assume, and now, you know, he's no longer in the game. So I think that she really just needs to build connections with Cody, for example. Cody doesn't, I mean, they would be smart to get Cody out soon, but he doesn't seem like he's going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, that Cody was so close to winning the challenge, is clearly a physical competitor, and yet had no vote to go his way.
Salesperson, as Cody would say. Cody is growing on me. I think now, obviously, Sammy is still my favorite. Cody is a close second favorite.
I'm still rooting for Jesse.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that. I can see it. I just didn't like it because he's the one who initiated the Dwight. I was so sad. Technically, Cody was a part of it, but like, oh, wait, no, he wasn't the one who initiated Dwight. Cody was. He initially wanted Noelle.
Oh.
And I knew that Noelle was going to come up soon.
Right. I'm glad, though, we didn't have yet another woman go home.
Yes. I think we're getting to that point where it's going to probably even out soon. But do we want to make any predictions for next
week?
Yes,
I've got our prediction for the week.
Oh, what's our prediction?
I think we've been trading off. I think last week you set our prediction, so I'm going to go ahead and set our prediction this week. Gabler will make the final blank.
Oh, what are we at right now?
Right now, we're at 11.
Okay. And then he'll go home after this?
Yes. Point? Like, he'll be voted out at the final blank.
And this next... Who will be sent home next? Like, what number?
I think the 10th is next.
Okay, 10th. So, Gabler will make the final 9.
Gabler will make the final... 6.
Whoa.
I think 6. I think that he's not quite a final 5, final 4 player. But I think that he'll be mid-merge put out.
I think they're going to get too annoyed with him at camp. With the pom, remember a couple weeks ago? He was putting the pom prom.
Maybe he's learned his lesson.
But you want to take us out?
All right. Well, thanks for listening to another episode. We'll be back next week.